25. Fran hovered at the door of the kitchen while her mother made tea. Alice perched upon the sofa in the living room. A glass of orange squash and a plate of biscuits had been set on the coffee table. The orange cordial had settled at the bottom of the glass. Fran bet that if you bit into one of the biscuits, it would be damp and stale. Small details. Like the dirt around the edges of the carpet. The cobwebs lurking in the corners of the room. The tremor in her mother's hands.
"You should have called," her mother said. "I haven't had a chance to tidy up, get myself sorted."
A lie, Fran thought. She hadn't had a chance to start drinking today, and now their visit would delay it.
"Sorry, we were in the area, so we thought we'd drop by." "Drop by?"
Her mother turned, eyes suddenly sharp.
"You've not dropped by in over 9 years. I didn't even know I had a granddaughter."
Despite herself, despite everything, Fran felt a leaden punch of guilt.
"I'm sorry." "Sorry?"
Her mother spat in disgust.
"You disappear without a word. You never call or send a message in all this time. You cut us from your life. And now you turn up out of the blue. What's really going on, Fran?" "It's complicated."
Her mother's lips pursed. The crockery rattled as she stuck cups on saucers.
"If you want money, I don't have any."
"No," Fran thought. "You've probably spent it all on booze." She bit back the words.
Instead, she said, "I have something I need to do. I need someone to watch Alice just for an hour or two." "And you had no one else you could ask?"
Fran didn't reply. What was the point in lying? Her mother shook her head, moisture welling in her bloodshot eyes.
"I know what you think of me. But don't you think I deserve the chance to know my eldest granddaughter?"
Fran wanted to reply that she had never made the effort to know her eldest daughter. What about her other grandchildren? Occasionally, when Alice was in bed, Fran had looked up her sisters on social media. She knew that Katie had 2 children now, and Lou had a little girl. Fran bet her mother never saw them either. But now was not the time to start an argument. She just said again,
"I'm sorry."
Her mother turned and walked across the kitchen. She peered through the open door into the living room where Alice still sat, clutching the bag of pebbles on her lap. Fran held her breath. She knew it was a long shot. If they had to leave, she would have to sort something else out. Then her mother turned, smiling sadly.
"I suppose we have to make the best of things, don't we?"
She shuffled into the living room and sat down beside Alice, who started a little.
"Do you like jigsaw puzzles, Alice? I think I still have some somewhere."
Alice glanced quickly at Fran. Fran gave a small nod. Alice looked back at her grandmother and smiled.
"Yes, that would be lovely."
Fran felt her heart soften. She reached for her car keys.
"I won't be long."
The sky outside was heavy with bloated black clouds, the breeze needle sharp. Fran turned the heater in the car up to full. There was a garage about 2 miles down the main road. She drove past it and pulled into a turning about 50 yards down. Then she walked back to the garage, where she purchased a petrol can and petrol, made suitably "I'm such a stupid woman" noises to the disinterested youth behind the counter, and carried it back to the car. She hoped it would be enough. Next, she drove to the out-of-town Sainsbury's. She picked up matches and some cheap t-shirts, which she planned to rip into rags. Then she headed off again. She glanced at her watch. Almost 40 minutes so far. She felt her stomach tighten. The thought of Alice out of sight was grating on her. She needed to get this done. Quickly. It should only take about 15 minutes to get to her destination. Hopefully no more than 10 minutes to do what she needed to do, and then back again. Hopefully. She indicated left and trundled along the narrow lane. After about 10 minutes, she spotted the farmhouse and then the small lay-by on the right. She pulled in, opened the boot, and took out what she needed. In the distance,
She heard a car. She stepped back into the embrace of the woods. A blue Fiesta sped past. The driver obviously didn't realize there were cameras further down the road. Serve him right. With a final glance around, she turned and trudged into the undergrowth. The overhanging branches were wet and dripped fat blobs of icy water on her head as she walked along. Occasionally a drooping branch whipped her in the face. The petrol can felt heavier with each step. The woods were far more overgrown than she remembered. When she was a kid, she and her friends used to ride here on their bikes, far more than her parents ever knew. Back then, before the new housing estate, you could reach the lake from the other side. They would cycle through the fields along an old bridle path, a rough, overgrown track just wide enough for horses or a car at a push. Mum and Dad had told her not to play here, obviously. Mum moaned that she would get all dirty. Dad told her that a child had drowned in the lake years ago. She wasn't sure she believed him, but the lake was certainly deep. Deep enough to submerge shopping trolleys, or something bigger. But not anymore. As she emerged into the small clearing, she caught her breath. Jesus. The lake had shrunk to a puddle. You could plan and plan, but there were always things you couldn't predict. Although, to be honest, dumping the car here had never been a plan. It had been an act of desperation. She'd like to say she hadn't meant to kill him. But that wasn't true. As soon as she had held the kitchen knife in her hand, she knew what she had to do. Survival. Once she would never have thought herself capable of such violence. But she had done a lot of things over the last 3 years that she had never thought herself capable of. None of us know, until pushed, what our limits truly are. How far would we go for those we love? The greatest acts of cruelty are born of the greatest love. Wasn't that some famous quote? Or maybe she was making it up. These days she was no longer sure. She was sure of one thing. The man who had broken into their house that night had come to kill them. And he probably had his reasons too. Good reasons. Reasons which he could use to justify his actions. But he had been careless. And Fran had been ready, waiting. The weird thing was, when she drove the knife into his flesh, it hadn't felt wrong or strange or even terrible. It had felt necessary. And then she had stabbed him again and again. To be sure. Once he was dead, practicality took over. She had loaded him into the boot of the old car, roused Alice from her bed, thank God she hadn't woken in the middle of it all, and told her they had to leave. They had driven south, avoiding main roads where possible, and checked into a hotel nearby. She had been forced to leave Alice alone for a couple of hours while she took care of things. A huge, huge risk. One she couldn't bring herself to repeat. But she saw the chance to kill two birds with one stone, dispose of the body and the damn car. She knew the perfect spot, one where neither could ever be found. Or so she thought. She stared at the car, the boot sticking up out of the murky water. At first she had been amazed that he could have found it. Now she was here, it made more sense. Someone was bound to find it eventually. Still, the chances of him just stumbling over it were still remote. Not many people visited this place or even knew about it. Someone must have told him it was here. But who? A worry for later. For now, she had to make sure no one else found the car, or more importantly, what was inside. She swallowed. There probably wasn't that much left. She remembered stripping off the man's clothes and burning them. A sudden sickening reality check. She had struggled to force his stiffening limbs from the grubby sweatshirt and jeans. His underwear was slightly stained and she had felt absurdly embarrassed, as if taking off his clothing were a greater desecration than taking his life. The sight of his flesh, pale and hairless, sticky with drying blood, had almost made her throw up. She had managed to hold her stomach and check his pockets. No wallet or ID. Some car keys, despite no car parked near their house, which she had chucked into the lake. But she had been hasty and had panicked. Desperate to get away from the body,
the dank lake and the consequence of her actions. She hadn't cleared out the car. She had just shoved stuff in the glove box without checking if there was anything incriminating that could lead them to her and Alice. That had to be rectified. She ripped up the t-shirts. Then she quickly wriggled out of her jeans and trainers, grabbed the petrol and rags and waded into the stagnant water. The cold made her gasp. Sticky mud squelched beneath her toes. She grimaced and gritted her teeth. She needed to do this fast. She reached the car. She pulled at the back door. The water pushed against her. She managed to yank it open and chucked some of the rags onto the back seat, which was virtually dry. It should catch. She doused the rags and seat in petrol. Was it enough? No. She needed to make sure that the contents of the boot burned too. She stepped away from the car and waded around to the back. She steeled herself and then cracked the boot open. That was when she heard the splash behind her. She turned, a moment too late, and something heavy crashed into her skull. Her head exploded and her knees buckled, the petrol can slipping from her hand. She sank, dazed, into the water, suddenly up to her chest. She gasped and floundered, arms splashing weakly. A figure loomed over her. And then his hands were on her throat, and he was pushing her head down into the freezing water. She tried to fight it. She grabbed at his hands, but they were so strong. She twisted and writhed. She kicked out with her feet and felt her heel connect soundly with his crotch. The grip around her throat loosened. She dragged her head up out of the water, seizing a precious breath. He punched her in the face. She sank again, his grip even tighter. She scrabbled and scratched at his fingers, but her strength was fading. She needed air. Her lungs were about to explode. She felt her lips part slightly, her brain desperate and conflicted. Don't open your mouth. But I need to breathe. Just hold on. She would not die in this stinking, filthy pool. She couldn't. Alice was waiting, and Fran had to get back because something gave. A sharp pain in her neck. A sudden lightness in her head. Her lungs were no longer burning because she could no longer feel her body. Her limbs floated uselessly. She couldn't fight. She couldn't stop this. Her mouth lolled open. And her last thought, as the water rushed in, was, Alice hates jigsaws.